Japanese and family and friends. It's so wonderful to be able to connect one with another again. God has blessed us so, so much. I just want to thank you for being a body of Christ. I want to thank you for staying in prayer, staying in the Word, and really allowing the transformative process of the Holy Spirit to take place within your lives. We're going to talk about that today. Being able to finish, to hear the Lord say, well done. I want to thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com. Got so much that's going on that the Lord has allowed us to put on the internet that we can be encouraged. I was talking to a young gentleman the other day, and I was able to share our website, and it was so wonderful just to say, go to ebcnc.com, and it came right up. And that young gentleman, he may be viewing today, he said, you have an app? I was like, yeah, we have an app. And he downloaded it, and he's connected with notifications. The Lord has blessed us tremendously, and I believe that you've been blessed also as we just strive to hear the voice of the Lord. Thank you in your giving. God loves a cheerful giver, giving from your heart. Remember that giving supersedes just monetary. It means to reach out, love on one another's texts and call and small group studying. That's that whole process of giving within our lives. Well, I'm ready to get into the Word for the day. I want our hearts to be prepared that we can together make it to the finish line. We'll see you soon.
My daily reading is 119. It's more than Psalms, but I saw this here in 118 that I thought was appropriate. Psalm 118:5. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes.
Amen.
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 Jesus said you can lean on me. Jesus said you can lean on me. Jesus said you can lean on me. Won't let you fall. You can lean on me. Jesus said you can lean on me. Jesus said you can lean on me. Jesus said you can lean on me. Won't let you fall, you can lean on me. I'll bear your burdens if you lean on me. I'll bear your burdens, Lord, you can lean on me. I'll bear your burdens if you lean on me. Won't let you fall, you can lean on me. Jesus said you can lean on me. Jesus said you can lean on me. Jesus said you can lean on me. I won't let you fall if you lean on me. Jesus said, I'll be your doctor, you can lean on me. I'll be your doctor, you can lean on me. I'll be your doctor if you lean on me. Won't let you fall, you can lean on me. Anybody leaning? Jesus said, you can lean on me. Heard him when he said, lean on me. Jesus said, you can lean on me. Won't let you fall. Won't let you fall. Won't let you fall. Won't let you fall. You can lean on me.
It is so good to know that Jesus Christ has done so much for us, being the propitiation for our sins and just going to the cross of Calvary for us. And we're going to talk today as we get back into this series of distractions and fears on just what it means to love the Lord and to follow his will. Well, before we go any further, I pray that you've got this 2 Timothy 1:7 deep down on the inside. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I believe you have been using it, because I've been using it as we've been walking through this season of so many distractions and fears. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. You're awesome. Again, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for allowing him to carry our sins and bear our griefs and our pains. Lord, I thank you for this day and those that are listening and viewing in. Maybe there's someone that doesn't know you. Would you help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you, not of works, lest anyone should boast, Lord. Because you said, Father, in your word that we are your workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, that you are prepared beforehand that we can walk in them. Thank you for choosing us, Lord. Now, Father, as we approach this word, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. You are our teacher. You are our guide. Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We love you, Lord, and thank you so much for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're getting ready to get into another book as we are going along on this series, 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2. And I want us to focus in on that 19th verse, 1 John chapter 2. And I want you to look at that 19th verse. The book of 1 John is very special to me. I remember years and years ago when I became a deacon, our head deacon actually encouraged me to memorize this entire book. I'll be honest, I cut some corners within and I started out, we're going to deal with that, but I really didn't finish it. But I became very familiar with this book. This is a challenging book. It has a lot of kind of poetry in it, kind of repeats itself, stylistic qualities, but yet the Holy Spirit is so strong in ministering. Listen to this, 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Wow, isn't that heavy? Listen to it again. 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Wow. I'm going to speak from a title today. Will I see you at the finish line? Will I see you at the finish line? You know, as we are processing this and getting ready to get into this portion of scripture, I'm just dealing with the thought of finish. So often within our society, that definition has changed. You remember, and I'll date myself, where you would look for a good job and you would commit yourself to that job and you would know you would be there 20, 30 years and the job was committed to you and your encouragement and your growth and your promotion. Those days are gone. It seems in this society, it's about, you know, getting a better job, more money, and leaving. The commitment is not there on the side of individuals, also on the side of the corporation. Finishing has taken on a different thought. Even within marriages now, a lot of times people go into marriages and it's not about the long haul. It's not about till death do us part. It's until I get tired of you or I want something else. I was touched with a particular program I was listening to, and it talked about this husband and this wife, and they were in the prime of their life, and the wife was in a severe car accident. The car accident was so bad, it caused her to be a paraplegic. Literally, she was paralyzed from her chin down. And what this meant is that she could talk still, but she couldn't breathe on her own. And so that husband had to assist her with a ventilator the rest of her life. And in his thought was, I'm still going to finish. This is my wife. I made a covenant. That thought pattern of finishing in spite of the issues that come up within our lives so often has been dismissed within our society. Today we pick up this first John. The time frame is about 95 AD. John is being used mightily of the Lord. He's an old man at this point. You can see it how he communicates. He often uses in the scriptures little children within the book, and he talks from a fatherly concern of encouragement. As we look at this, today's portion, he's dealing with the thought pattern of the false teachers that have come within the congregation, those who have actually followed the devil, have picked up a different spirit of that which is against God. We're going to talk about that today, Antichrist. He's dealt with walking in the light and what that means. Confession of sin, that we can understand that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the kingdom of God, but also to be obedient to God's word, to follow the commission that God has put out for us all, even in the midst of distractions and fears that all around us. Let's jump into this section. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm going to read that again. I really want you to grasp that. Think about this. This is a tough and a heavy scripture. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. First point, we must choose. Yes, we must choose. As we're in this world, we're living in this world. Every day we have a choice, whether I'm going to choose the ways of the world or I'm going to choose God. Choosing the ways of the world may not be an evil thing. It could be just depending more on our logic or more on our desires, our passions, the things that we want, and we diminish that which the word has said, or even what the spirit is speaking to our heart. Every day we have to make a choice. We must choose. You may ask yourself, so how do we get over this? There has to be a love for God, for his word, a desire to be in his presence that supersedes everything else. And we understand the only way we can love is because of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Revelations 3:14 really gives us a thought pattern of God's expectation for the church, for the people of God, those who say that we love him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Revelations 3:14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Revelation 3:15. Listen to this. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. Now, there's a lot of background within Revelation and even who this is speaking to, but we want to use this as just a kind of a baseline. God is like, I want you to make a choice, whether you're going to be hot or cold. And within our society, especially when it comes to the Christian faith, there's so many people are not willing to make a choice. They are like Revelation 3:16. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Will I see you at the finish line? This is so important to the note that I believe that this lukewarmness has entered into the house of the Lord. It has entered into our lives. There are so many distractions. There are so many things that we can choose other than the Word of God. And then there is this sin can slide in that we've got it all together. Revelation 3:17 talks about this, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Well, I see you at the finish line. Yes, even within the faith, the believers, so often we can forget where God has brought us from. We can forget how messed up we are in our choices, and that we're sinners that are saved by God's grace. And we can think that we're all of that because we have been blessed and God has been so good to us. But saints, we can never forget that if it had not been for God on our side, so any amens, any hallelujahs out there, if it had not been for his grace and mercy infused within our lives, and so in that we owe him everything. Well, I see you at the finish line. Look at 1 John 2:16. John continues on, led of the Holy Spirit, talking about this world comparison and God and seeking him. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. 17th verse. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Here's another point. God's will supersedes everything. Yes, God's will supersedes everything. Within that scripture, very important, it says that the world is passing away. We're going to deal with that. And we have to realize the world is grasping for our attention. It wants our attention. God says he speaks to us in that still small voice, encouraging us. He's laid down the steps that we should take. D.L. Moody, a great Christian evangelist in the 1800s, he had this saying put on his tombstone. It says, he who does the will of God abides forever. Yeah, the will of God, it supersedes everything. To do what God has called us to do is everything within our lives. Notice closely again that 1 John 2:17, that world is passing away and the lust of it. Do you see there is so much change that's taking place so quickly? We've got global warming and we've got all these things. I was talking to my daughter the other day in Columbus, Ohio, and it was like some 4 degrees. And she's like, Daddy, I thought it was global warming. All of these things are occurring. We've got the stock market. It plummeted the other day, and it's up and it's down. We've got the issues with Ukraine and the USA and NATO and all of these things that are occurring. We still got problems with China and exports and imports. All of these things, we can see that the world is passing away. This actually comes from Jesus, and he talks about this process of the end of time getting closer and closer. Luke 21:29. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. 31. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. As we see these changes taking place at a breakneck speed, please know that the time is getting closer and God is calling us into his presence to get to know him, to worship him, to praise him more. Luke 21:32, assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. 33, I love this verse. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Will I see you at the finish line? It's all about getting into God's word. It's all about standing in faith and really digging deep in him and saying, God, I want your will to be done within my life. What are some biblical standards as we're talking about the scriptures that actually show that the world is passing away? What does the scripture say about this? Paul the apostle wrote in Romans 8:22. He says, for we know know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. He said there's something going on that this world, and we see that, is groaning. It's saying, hey man, there has to be more. And it's looking for the manifestation of the sons of God. Look at Romans 8:23. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. You sense that? That the world is going through issues and vacillations, and all of these things are occurring, and we can even sense it on the inside. Are there some saints out there? So there's got to be more. There's got to be more. As we are striving to get closer to the Lord, we're actually seeing more of the darkness of this world and how the enemy is stepping up his attack. But I am so glad for God's power, and he's still in the saving business. Jesus warned us in Matthew 24:6, and he says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. You've been hearing of that? See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, as Christ is speaking to this, men and theologians have struggled at the exact point that he's talking about, but we can use this as a background, and we can see these things coming more and more, even as the birth pangs are going forth. Matthew 24:7, for nation will rise against nation. We see that struggle. We see Russia, and we've got the U.S. of and we've got China and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Will I see you at the finish line? I'm telling you, to finish, we have got to press through all of this stuff. We can't get distracted by all of these things. We've got to draw closer to the Lord. 1 John 2:18, he says, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Another point. The last hour. Yes, the last hour. John actually brings out, again, false teachers have risen up within the congregation. They're trying to lead the congregation into a place that is against Christ, that is against his teaching. Don't we see that even within our society? There's so many people that are saying that they're pastors and bishops and leaders, but instead of actually encouraging the body of Christ, they're actually leading the body of Christ away. Until I saw an article the other day, they said pastors slash pimps in the church. Yeah, they actually put that, a respected position that should endear a love and encouragement to the flock, has been changed to pimp simply because there's so much evil that is arising even within the household of the faith. How often have you heard people talk about the people of God, talk about how messed up they are and how hypocritical they are, and even have debased the belief in God to something that's just a plain religion that has no power? I'm talking about, we're in the last hour. The Antichrist, in the most general sense within the scripture, is defined as a person or force seen as opposing Christ or the Christian church. I want to say that again, a person or force seen as opposing Christ or the Christian church. Do you sense that? That force is getting stronger. It's on our TVs. It's on our internet. It's on Netflix, and it's on Hulu. It's all over the place, and it's seeping itself in, trying to pull us away. It is anti-God in all of its thought. But in here, it also talks about a capital A, the Antichrist, often known within the scripture as the beast. Daniel actually, he prophesied size of this in the Old Testament, Daniel 7:25. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and the law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and a half a time. I'm telling you what I see at the finish line. These things are rising up. I am seeing so many world leaders rise up and talk against God. It used to be a time of reverence to God, but now I'm telling you, people will curse at God. They will say things. They have no fear of God. People are even rising up, and I can see it's going to be very easy for people to proclaim themselves as God. I believe that we are in the last hours. Some of you may say, well, Pastor, can you tell me when this exact time is? Is it going to be 2022 when the Lord comes back, or 2023, the first quarter? Can you give me that information? Well, all I can give you is what Jesus taught about this in Matthew 24:36. He says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But look at that 37th verse. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, I see at the finish line. What does that mean? That 38th verse. For in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. 39. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Yeah, things will be going on as usual. People will be marrying and they'll be eating. The process will continue on simply because so many would have become numb and they've gotten used to the spirit of the Antichrist. They've gotten used to the ways of the world and desensitized to the spirit of God, and they're going to miss it. Matthew 24:40, then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the meal, one will be taken and the other left. Matthew 24:42, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Well, I see at the finish line. Now, this is important for the saints who are drawing closer to the Lord. We have a sense. We do. We can look and we can see that, man, things are getting right. We can sense the darkness that is in the midst of us for the saints who are loving the Lord. And this is the encouraging word. We've got to decide, are we going to finish our race? Matthew 24:43, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. It is the last hour. Saints of God, I'm thinking about this whole process, and God has given us warnings over and over again. He's telling us over and over again that he is getting closer and closer, and this should be a time of rejoicing for the saints. This should be a time of celebration to know that the time is getting closer and closer. But I believe so often, because we have a love of the world, because we have a love of the things that are around us, we are holding more onto them than the blessed hope of Christ. And we've got to decide, what is our life going to be about? Will I see you at the finish line? The choice has to be made. Will we grow deeper in the Lord? Will we become more like him? Jude 17 talks about what will seep in more and more as we get closer to that day. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time, who walk, listen to this, according to their own ungodly lust. You know anybody like that? 19, these are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the spirit. Well, I see at the finish line. I'm telling you, this has become pronounced in our society. People who cause divisions. The United States of America, we're in the midst of divisions, confusion, hard to come together. We see it in our political parties. We see it in our homes. We see it all around us. So many people are struggling. We see it amongst the races. We see it amongst the rich and the poor. I'm telling you, these are signs of the time. Well, I see you at the finish line. Look at 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Here's another point. Continue in the faith. Yes, continue in the faith. So many have started out strong, but they just didn't finish. How many things have you started it's just never finished. Yeah, you started out with a good idea. Maybe it was music lessons, and you started out, you were going to become a maestro at that musical instrument, but you never finished. You just kind of gave up. How many things have we wanted to do? Some of you made some thoughts, you know, this year, man, I'm going to get in shape. And now it's 3-4 weeks into January, almost February, and you've already given up on that. Some of you said that you're going to do this, you're going to do that, but your finishing process is just not there. But I'm telling you, when it comes to our faith, we got to finish. Well, I see you at the finish line. We have to be strong in this. We have to continue in this faith, and it's likened to a race. Yeah, like we're running a race. The Holy Spirit uses Paul the Apostle to really give us this thought pattern of where we are in this season and time. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Listen to this. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Ask yourself, am I running in a way to obtain the prize? Am I running in a way to make it to the finish line, to cross that finish line and hear the Lord say, well done? What things are you doing in your life to set up success in the Holy Spirit? What things are you doing on a daily basis that actually are drawing you closer to the Lord, of hearing His voice and helping you in your decision making to do the will of God? 1 Corinthians 9:25, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Our goal is to be with Christ and to have victory in Him. We understand, again, all the things of this world are passing away, but God has prepared a place for us that is eternality. That's what we're thinking about in turn, this eternal living and love, where there's no more sickness and there's no more disease, there's no more pains, because God has fixed all of this. That's what we're focused on. As long as we're on this side, there is going to be trouble, but God says that I can give you peace that goes beyond all understanding. Will I see you at the finish line? How many of us want that imperishable crown? 1 Corinthians 9:26. Therefore, he says, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight. Are there any fighters out there? You can put in the chat, fight, fight, fight. You got to fight. I'm telling you, as a Christian in this season and time, you got to fight, because your flesh is going to rise up. Distractions and fears are going to be hitting you, and it wants to pull you towards the Antichrist side. It wants to pull you towards the enemy camp, and we are actually swimming upstream. But I'm so glad Paul the Apostle, little host, he said, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline, you can say it, you can say discipline. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Paul the Apostle admitted, he said, there is a struggle that goes on. Well, I see you at the finish line. There is going to be a fight, and you're going to have to get your body and say, you know what? We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to love Him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Could that be the challenge in this season, in this time of distractions and fear? The enemy's whole goal is that we are, our testimony has been tarnished, that nobody really wants to listen to us simply because we have become hypocritical. We put on a face in one place, but we're living the life of the world in other places, and people are able to discern and see those things. But I'm telling you, God is calling forth a people that love Him, that have decided that they're going to seek Him, that they're going to discipline themselves. We must continue in the faith. We have to have more prayer, more Bible reading, more praise, more worship, more fruits of the Spirit, more Holy Ghost living. God wants us to be sanctified in Him and walk in Him, that the world can know that God is alive. Are there any witnesses out there to know when God is moving in the saints? I'm telling you, souls will be saved, delivered, and set free. Lives will be changed. Let's look at 1 John 2:20, pulling all this together. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. 21, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Final point. we are anointed to walk in the truth. Yes, we are anointed to actually walk in the truth. God literally has saved us, delivered us, anointed us to know what the truth is, to be able to discern between the darkness or the lies of the world and in his word, to know which way to walk in. One theologian wrote this. He said, the Christian can see more on his knees than the worldling can see on his tiptoes. Can I read that again? The Christian can see more on his knees than the worldling can see on his tiptoes. The question is, how much are we on our knees? How much are we talking to the Lord and asking him for direction? We want him to walk with us and we want him to talk with us, but how many of us are actually getting in the presence of the Lord? This anointing that it talks about in the scripture is actually called an unction or this oil. This oil is the pouring on. So when a king was would come in and he would come into that office of kingship in the Old Testament, he would be anointed with oil. They would literally take olive oil and pour it over his head, and the oil would come down over him, showing that there was a covering representing the Holy Spirit. That's what we have in our lives. There ought to be some shouts of praise that via the Holy Spirit, we have been anointed to walk in the truth. We are saved when we receive God's word and that truth rises up on the inside of us. And so many times it's not comfortable. When that truth rises up, it exposes the darkness. It exposes the issues. It exposes the lies, and we have to make a decision. And that's why 1 John 1:9 is so powerful. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He says, if we say that we have not to sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Because when the truth rises up, it actually shows us who we are. That's why it's so important to understand God's word and to love it. Proverbs 3:5-6 really encapsulate what we've been talking about. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, somebody say, always, always, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Isn't that what Christ did for us? Will I see you at the finish line? That's why he came from heaven to earth and walked among men, healed the sick and raised the dead. That's why he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. He's betrayed. He's beaten. He goes to the cross of Calvary, takes nails in his hands, nails in his feet, all for us so that we could make it to that finish line. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus cries out, it is finished. He actually completed the work of the Father for us. He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave, but I'm so glad 3 days later he gets up with all power and all glory. He shows it what it means to get to the finish line, and even now he's seated on the right hand of the Father and he's interceding for us. He's praying for us. He's cheerleading for us that we make it to the finish line. Saints, in this season, it is challenging. And I wish I could tell you that it's going to be easy. I wish I could tell you that it's going to be easy to make it to the Bible and to read on a daily basis and to pray and to worship. No. There are some sweet moments. There's some times that we can be in the midst of saints that we feel encouraged. But I'm telling you, when we get out of the midst of that, the enemy is going to attack us. He's going to hit us hard, but I want you to know that God has given us everything we need. Remember, we are anointed to walk in the truth. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us that beckons us every day to want more of the Father. That beckons us every day to want to lift up our hands. And that's what happens when we think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us. There should be something that rolls like a wheel in the middle of the wheel on the inside. That's the Holy Spirit beckoning us to get closer to the Lord, to love on the Lord more, to get into his word, to pray more, to worship more, that we can make it in this last hour, that we can finish strong. And we can hear our Father say, well done, my good and faithful servant. If you don't know Christ today, you can't make it. But I'm telling you, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, said you will be saved. When you realize, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I messed up. That's when we can see the reality of what Christ has done for us. Oh, he's been so good. He is so good. He is our everything. And when he saves us, man, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And again, who reveals truth to us, who pushes out the darkness, that we can live a righteous life. Remember, we talked about this in another sermon. Be holy as he is holy. That's what God is saying. He's making us more like him on a daily basis. For the saints who love the Lord, I want to encourage you. This is our season. God is calling us to a deeper relationship. He's calling us to turn more and more away from the world and more to him. Will I see you at the finish line? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this word. Lord, even as we continue into this word in a deeper manner in the Sundays to come, Lord, I just want to say thank you for not leaving us. Thank you that even when we've messed up and we've gone astray, man, you still call us. You still correct us. Holy Spirit, we're sorry for the times that we've grieved you, for the times that we haven't went the will of the Father, but we followed the lust of the flesh, the pleasures of this world, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. But Lord, help us today to make a decision to grow closer to you, to make a decision to read more, to pray more, to really have an intimate relationship with you. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done. Thank you for this day that you've made. Help us, Lord, to rejoice and be glad in it, and to make it to the finish line. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ain't God a good God? Yeah. Come on, clap your hands. Ain't God a good God? Yeah. Ain't the Lord a good God? Yeah. You know he's so good to me. Ain't God a good God? Some of you don't believe that. Ain't God a good God? Oh Lord, ain't God a good God? Yeah, you know he's so good to me. Listen, won't the Lord bring you out? Yes, he'll do it. Won't the Lord bring you out? Oh Lord, won't the Lord bring you out? Yeah, you know he's, yes he been doing. Yeah, woke me up early this morning. Yeah, didn't he do it? Woke me up, he woke me on time. Oh Lord, ain't the Lord a good God? Yeah, you know he's. One more thing. Gave me peace of mind. Yeah, he did it for me. Gave me a good peace of mind. Oh Lord, ain't the Lord a good God? Yeah, you know. Oh Lord, hey, you've been good to me. Been good to me. Has he been good to you? Woke me up this morning, started me on my way. Can't nobody do it but the Lord. Let me hear you clap them hands. Stand up on your feet. If he been good to you, if he been good to you, just wave your hand, just wave your hand. Listen, God a good, good God? Yeah, ain't the Lord a good God? Yeah. You know, hey, you've been good to me. You've been good to me. He's been good to you. He's a mighty good God. He's a mighty good God. He'll never fail. Put your hand in his hand. Let him guide the way. He's been good to me. Ain't God a good God? Yeah, ain't the Lord a good, good God? Oh Lord, ain't the Lord a good God? Yeah, yeah, hey Lord, yeah.